Number one is it's absolutely imperative to get to a point of forgiveness. You know, the scripture teaches that we're to forgive one another just as Christ has forgiven us. There had to be a point somewhere in Hagar's life where she was going to forgive Sarah and Abraham, if she was ever going to be free emotionally of what happened here.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Randy's a counselor and coach, and your advocate for the family. Today is part two of Dr. Randy's five-part teaching entitled Intentional Living for Single Parents. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your family, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And I do welcome you on into the Intentional Living Center today. I'm seated here in our broadcast studio, and we always welcome your comments and your calls and your questions. And I think many will be generated as this 5 days we're focusing on single parenting. How in the world can you handle it as a single mom or dad? God love you. It's a tremendous stress. There's a lot of pressure. But the good news is God has made a way for you. And our purpose for doing this series is to encourage you and to uplift you, to remind you that you can do this. And today I'm going to take you over again to our teaching studio where with guests and staff I recorded this series on Intentional Living for Single Parenting. I'm going to share the story of a woman from the Old Testament. Her name was Hagar. She didn't ask to become a single parent, but she did. And maybe that's your case. You didn't ask to end up being a single mom or dad, but there you are. And we're going to give you a real biblical basis and a lot of practical help during this series. So let's get over there and let's begin as I share with you day two, part two, on the topic single parenting, how to be intentional, overcoming guilt and setting goals. Hagar didn't ask to become a single parent, but because of the choices that Abraham and Sarah made, that's the outcome. Now, we know God had a master plan. Please, I understand, as a follower of Christ, God had some bigger thing going on here that was bigger than Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. But bringing it down to the human element of just the relationships of what's going on in this family, Hagar is going to pay the price for the choices that Abraham and Sarah made. And I say that to encourage you that some of you here today, and some of you listening or viewing this, or maybe you have children who are single parents, and it was really of no choice of their own. It wasn't something they wanted. It wasn't something they chose. It wasn't something that was a result of their own sin necessarily. But that's where they are. And so as I got that far in the story, I said, boy, there's got to be more here. You know, if God's giving us a story of this woman, Hagar, there's got to be some more that we can learn about how to be intentional as a single parent. But first of all, I want to make sure that we're clear. When we talk about God's intention, we know that God's intention is for every child to be growing up in a home with a mom and a dad. I don't have to explain that to single parents. You all know that. But it also can be very guilt-ridden. It can produce guilt that therefore creates a further problem in trying to do a good job with those kids. And so my goal here today is let's set the guilt aside and let's just see what God has to say that can be helpful to you from the life of this woman, Hagar. And so I don't know if you brought your Bibles with you today, but we're going to be in Genesis chapter 21. And just to set the scene for those of you who don't know, Abraham and Sarah, of course, have been chosen by God to give birth to the one that would be the head of the growing promised children, Isaac, who's going to come and be a part of their family. They disobeyed, and Sarah gave her bondservant to Abraham, and she gets pregnant, and Ishmael is born. Abraham is 86 years old, according to Scripture, when Ishmael is born. When Isaac comes, Abraham is 100 years old. So Ishmael, this young man, was already 14 years old when Isaac was born. And within a year or so, we're going to see the story, Hagar's demanded to leave and take Ishmael. So I always thought when I was reading this story that when When Hagar left, she took a little baby with her. No, this was a young man. He was already 14, 15, maybe 16 years of age when she headed out. You know what? And I thought about some of you as single parents trying to raise a teenager on your own. This is what this woman was doing. She was in a position where she was going to be cast out literally into the desert alone with a teenager. I mean, some of you living just in your own home with your teenager can drive you nuts, you know? But she's going to be out in the desert with this young man on her own. It's a powerful story. So let's go to Genesis chapter 21. And it begins in verse 8 through 10. And here's how it goes. The scripture says, in reference to Isaac, Isaac has been born now. And in verse 8, it says, so the child grew and was weaned, speaking of Isaac. And it says that, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian woman, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing at her. Isn't that interesting? Here's this young man, 14 or 15, and all of a sudden they're going to have this great feast for this young Isaac who's been weaned, and this Ishmael, this son of Abraham, is scoffing. And that got me thinking, because this is the very first step that's going to begin the process, because in a matter of hours or the next few days, Hagar is going to become a single mom. And what got me thinking is this. Single parenting seldom starts happily. You think about all the things in life that start happily. Marriage, it's a happy day, right? You look at maybe starting a new job, that's a happy day. Maybe it's retirement, that's a happy day. Maybe it's you're being reunited with a family member, that's a happy day. How many people celebrate the day they became a single parent? Now, there'd be some probably saying, boy, I'm happy to be, you know, a single parent. But the reality is, we don't start single parenting as a happy day. We also know that the way things begin often become the pattern of how things turn out.
In a moment, Dr. Randy continues today's teaching, Intentional Living for Single Parents. This is part of Dr. Randy's August teaching series on high-stake relationships. Find out more about the series and how you can receive a copy of this complete teaching or all of the teachings for the entire month at theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours 1-888-1717 and press option 4.
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can be an intentional parent. For those single parents who all of a sudden get the rug pulled out from underneath them and discover that their husband has been having an affair and now he wants a divorce. You know, the carnal part of our life says, boy, I'm hurt. I want to strike out. If you have children, don't go there. Don't badmouth your husband. I don't care if your husband was a slimeball. Now, there's a term you don't hear on Christian radio very often, slimeball. But even if your husband was one, don't badmouth him ever. You extend only kindness to him. You turn the other cheek. Why do you do that? You do that for your kids. If you badmouth your ex, and this goes for husbands badmouthing their wives as well, your kids will turn that parent into the Time Magazine Father or Mother of the Year. Don't do it. Keep the avenues open. Don't shut them down.
Today's teaching from the Intentional Living Center is available to you with our thanks for your gift to the ministry. The teaching includes not only what you hear on the radio today, but all sessions of this entire series, including two bonus series. Just go to theintentionallife.com to find out more. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy in the teaching studio at the Intentional Living Center.
How many people celebrate the day they became a single parent? Now, there'd be some probably saying, boy, I'm happy to be, you know, a single parent. But the reality is, we don't start single parenting as a happy day. We also know that the way things begin often become the pattern of how things turn out. And so this is one of the few relationships in life, or one of the few moments in life, that don't begin as a happy experience in life. You know, there's divorce. It's not happy. Death of a spouse. Not a happy experience. Maybe there's been anger or conflict. There's been rejection. There's been loss. All of those things are usually a part of the process of becoming a single mom or dad. Not happy. You know, look back on those moments with excitement. And I thought, well, what do you do? If we're going to be practical today in helping single parents, what do you do? And I wrote down five things that I think single parents need to think about. Number one is it's absolutely imperative to get to a point of forgiveness. You know, the scripture teaches that we're to forgive one another just as Christ has forgiven us. There had to be a point somewhere in Hagar's life where she was going to forgive Sarah and Abraham if she was ever going to be free emotionally of what happened here. I've seen people, and I've worked with people years later, 10 years, 15 years later after a divorce, and this person's a single parent, and they're still hanging on to that anger and that resentment and that bitterness of what occurred in their life. And the other person has gone on and maybe been remarried and gone on with their life or destroyed their life or whatever they did, and you're hanging on to the bitterness and the anger. And you know this intuitively. At the end of the day, the only person you hurt is yourself and your kids. Because your kids aren't stupid. They see mom is still angry and dad's still angry and they're still fighting and they still have these issues going on. And the kids, it seems like the kids are always paying the price, you know. So recognize you didn't start as a happy single mom or dad, but forgiveness is key. Secondly, it's time to start new goals. Man, when you get into being a single parent, you got to stop at some point as you get through the grief, working through this grief. There's a point where you got to stop and say, now what? Talked to a woman last week. It was like, I don't know what my goals are. Her husband had died, and she'd lived her whole life, and she's, I don't know where to go now. I don't know what to do. See, I'm stuck. And this can happen with single parents. Your whole identity, see, has been around being this married person or in this relationship. Or now all of a sudden you're out there in the wilderness and you're a single parent. Now you're trying to figure out, how do I negotiate this? This is an opportunity to be intentional. We talk at Intentional Living about focusing on God's intention. What is God's intention for you as a single mom to raise those kids, a single dad, to do the best job you can at raising those kids? And set some new goals and fresh goals for your life. And when you do that, what you're doing is you're not staying stuck. Now, you don't want to jump in too quickly, but at the same time, to set the goals for the future. Another thing is to make sure the friends that you bring around you are healthy. We talk in Intentional Living that friendships have an expiration date. You know, when you go through a divorce and you become a single parent, some of you know you lost some friends, but be careful the new friends you pick. I can't tell you the number of people I've talked to over the years who have made decisions, dumb decisions, that maybe were a part of their marriage going down the tubes, and then they start hanging around with the wrong people to reinforce feeling sorry for themselves and the pity party and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? It feels good to have people who feel sorry for you and agree with what you're going through, but those are not the kind of friends you need. You need people who are going to challenge you, hold you accountable, going to love you, and help bring you up. You need friends around you that are going to take you to another level. So picking your friends is really critical. Number four, setting boundaries in place. A lot of times when people become single parents, the boundary issues with ex-spouses and ex-in-laws, and we did the whole thing on blended family, so you kind of know what that's all about if you listen to that series. And then, of course, realistic expectations and broken dreams. The dreams you have are gone, see, and they're new dreams now. There's new goals, new ideas, new direction for your life. But just remember, when it comes to blended families, it doesn't generally start, or I should say a single family or a single parent doesn't start happily. Secondly, let's read from Genesis chapter 21. We're going to read right through these verses because each of these verses give us really good insight. The next verse in Genesis 21:11, it says, "And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son." And I stopped and I thought about that. Here's Sarah, who's really ticked off, right? She wants this woman out of the camp. She wants this woman gone.
And Abraham wasn't all that excited. We're going to pick up right from that spot and continue as we go into part three next time on intentional living for single parents to give a biblical basis and the practical helps that you need as a single mom or dad to be successful in this area of life. And so now that we're back here in our broadcast studio, I'd like to remind you that today with your gift to the ministry of any amount, we'll say thanks by sending you the CD with all five parts of my teaching on intentional living for single parents. And if you become a monthly member of Intentional Living, you receive this teaching plus my high-stake relationships lessons on intentional living for blended families and also intentional living to grow your faith and your marriage. So become a member if you can. We'd love to have you do that. But for everyone, we'll get this to you with your gift today. Find out more. Go to theintentionallife.com. Click on donate, theintentionallife.com, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and go ahead and press prompt number four. Number four option will take you to our staff, okay? Love to have you do that. By the way, a reminder that the Thrive Conference for Families and Business, you want to start a family business, you're in a family business, you want to grow a family business, we have a lineup of guest speakers going to be held at the Grand Canyon University coming up. I'll give you more information. We have a spot here in just a few seconds that'll remind you again. But get registered, okay? We'd love to see you there.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
The Intentional Living Center invites you to the Thrive Conference for Families and Business, coming to Grand Canyon University Arena, Phoenix, October 26th. Register early to assure seating for you and your family. Every day, your faith, your family, your finances, and your future are at stake. And at the Thrive Conference, you're going to gain a lot of encouragement for you and your family. Early bird registration discounts available at familybusinessconference.com. That's familybusinessconference.com.
Yes, my name is Paul. I live in Hayes, Kansas, and I listen to Dr. Randy Carlson, religiously every day. I appreciate so much all the advice and the intentional living, and been a Christian for many years and have not been intentional about some of my faithful of giving that I should do, and so that's one of my goals this year is to give and to save a little more faithfully, as I have not done that. And the other thing is to reconnect with three sons through a loss of a divorce. I have three sons that I have not talked to other than one at Thanksgiving for about 7 years. So my intention is, with God's will, that we will get connected and get forgiving done and get things taken care of with my three great boys. But need to get reconciled to their father for their sake. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Hey, there you go. You're laying out the things you're going to do, how to be intentional. You know, and again, let's when we look at making lists of things we want to do, let's keep the list reasonable. That's why I come back to one thing. Just think about it. If you did just one thing today, it might take 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It might be a bigger part of your day. But one thing that would be a significant impact in life. Think about that. All right. Katie joins us on the phone from Missouri. Hi there. Welcome to the program, Katie.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
I appreciate it.
I'm amazed at how you are able to get to the heart of the matter with the callers, and I really think you have an incredible understanding of what's going on beyond the surface, and you offer excellent wisdom, so I appreciate you.
Well, thank you.
A lot, and your ministry.
Well, thank you, Kate. I appreciate that. What's your question today?
Well, I just wanted to mention a couple of different things. I think that single parenting can be especially challenging. I think kids can easily get caught in the middle. So I've got a couple situations going on, and I wanted to see if you have any good advice for that. From what my son comes home and tells me, it's obvious I think his dad is speaking disrespectfully of me, and then I think it in turn causes many issues, and which one of them is that he undermines me as a disciplinarian. Mm. He doesn't respect me as he should, and then it's also spilled over into not respecting teachers at school, many of which who are female. Mm-hmm. He's only 5 years old, so he's pretty young, and he's at a Christian school. But he's having a lot of behaviors. And then an even greater concern is the fact that I don't think his dad is a believer. Mm. So my son's coming home and saying things like his dad is saying that Jesus is pretend and that real men don't watch veggies. things like that. So I believe that there's a great deal of spiritual warfare involved for, you know, my son's salvation.
Sounds like a very intentional.
Told me
sounds very intentional in terms of his message to his son. Do you think that your ex-husband speaks these things in terms of trying to get back at you, or is it just really his own heart on these issues and maybe not sensitive to how that can create division and confusion between you?
Yeah, and I'm not sure I've thought about that myself. I'm not sure if it's just more his own heart, you know, or if he's really trying to get back at me, but part of me thinks it's just his own heart. He originally told me he was a believer. My gut told me he wasn't, but I chose to believe him and believe that he really was a Christian. I don't think he is now, knowing more, you know, of what I know now. But it just concerns me because I feel like there's a great pull, you know,
for
my son.
Well, you got a division here.
Do
you have a decent relationship with your ex-husband?
You know, we get along because we have to, but I don't think there's much of a relationship.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
No, it does. I mean, obviously, if there was a great relationship, you probably wouldn't be divorced. But I tell people in a situation like this, when you have kids, the mature person or the spiritual person, the person who loves Christ, you have to bend over backwards sometimes. You have to, you know, you have to bite your tongue and you have to suck it up and take a certain amount of grief that you wouldn't in maybe another situation for the benefit of the children, meaning to be able to sit down with your ex-husband and say, hey, you know, can we talk about how we can, you know, co-parent, how we're going to parent this, our son, in a way that's respectful? And my commitment to you is I don't intend to badmouth you or undermine, you know, your home and what you're doing. But, you know, we're going to confuse this little guy. I'd appreciate it if you could at least be neutral on these issues of faith and what I'm teaching him, as opposed to being adversarial. It's confusing our son. Do you think you have a relationship enough to be able to sit and talk about the outcome that you'd like to have in this little guy's life?
I definitely would. That's been on my heart to do that. I think the only problem is that his dad will deny that he's ever said anything, and he's gotten mad before when I've confronted him, you know, just very gently about certain things. He'll say, like, oh, you're just trying to cause problems. That's not true. That's not happening.
All right, we'll say that.
So that's the only challenge.
So that's good to hear, because that's different than what I've heard, you know, Junior say when he's come back, and I just want to clarify so we can be on the same page. You know, obviously you don't have control over his life. You can't make him do or not do something. He's dad, and he's going to speak into your son's life as he chooses. But I think separate from that, Katie, your job is to really focus on your five-year-old, have an honest, open discussion, let him be able to tell you anything that he's heard or what he's feeling or what he's thinking, and without opposition or criticism about dad or what dad is saying, just say, well, you know, that's the way that's, you know, we need to pray for dad. In other words, a positive thing that's going to encourage your son to love his dad, at the same time know the truth, and then live it out in your life. Here's what I believe. At the end of the day, it's not so much what parents say, it's how we live our lives and what the Holy Spirit of God does in the life of our family. And as your little boy grows up, he's five now and he grows to be 7 and 8 and a teenager, yeah, there's confusion. And yes, does it negatively impact growing a Christian home? Yes, no question about it. But he's going to see mom. He's going to see your life. He's going to see that Christ is real in your life. He's going to see how you handle relationships and how you handle entertainment and the joy that you have as a follower of Christ and how the fruit of the Spirit you know, flows into your life. He's not stupid. He's your child. He's going to grow up and see those things. And as you commit your son to Christ, as you live your faith, let God do his work. Ask for protection. You know, there's a verse that talks about building a hedge of protection. Pray that God will build a hedge of protection around your son, spiritually and otherwise, that he would only experience and see the truth in his life. And I think that's a powerful thing for any single parent to do when they have an unequal kind of a relationship with an ex-spouse.
For sure. Yeah, I've been praying protection for him every day now. I think that's huge. So I really, really appreciate that. Yeah.
All right. Well, God will give you strength.
Great advice. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. He'll give you strength.
For sure.
One day at a time, Katie. That's why God gives us many years with our kids. Don't get discouraged. But I really do believe this, to the extent that you really want to build in the lives of your kids. Sometimes we got to bend over backward with an ex-spouse to have a good enough relationship to at least be able to talk about how we're going to raise this little boy or little girl.
So you're in this relationship and it's just not going well. What do you do? Well, if that relationship matters to you, then it's probably a high-stake relationship, and Dr. Randy's here for you. Today's teaching is both biblical and practical, and is going to help you be intentional with your high-stake relationships. The complete teaching is on CD and is yours with our thanks for your gift of any amount to the ministry. And if you become a monthly member of Intentional Living, you'll receive this teaching plus another teaching for blended families and two more bonus teachings. That's four practical full-length teachings on four CDs from Dr. Randy when you become a member. And as a member, you'll receive more great teaching CDs every month. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call 1-888-1717 during West Coast business hours and press option number 4.
My name is Connie, and I am a single parent, and I just want to thank Dr. Randy Carlson for doing this show today, because I struggle a lot with raising my daughter, and one of the things that I really do try to stay focused on is spiritual principles in our house, and sometimes I do stray off of the path, and because it just seems like sometimes it's so overwhelming, you know, work, being the financer, being the, you know, the only ear, and, you know, having to take in everything, and just the whole shebang of things is overwhelming for us. Yeah, I just want to thank you. You've helped me so many days. You've given me a lot of hope. So just want to thank you. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Well, you're very welcome, Connie. Thank you for sharing that. And again, I think it's an example. Connie's call is an example of what you and many other single parents wrestle with. You feel alone. You got to make these decisions. I can't quite imagine. I mean, with Don and I have been married, when we were raising our kids together, we'd share ideas back and forth and share some of the load, even though she carried so much of it. But just being together, working together, such an important thing. And so thank you for that reminder. That's why we're doing this series, this five-part series on single parenting and how to be intentional. And we're going to continue this again next time as we continue to bring much encouragement from God's Word and practical takeaway for being an intentional parent. And again, a reminder that today, with your gift to the ministry of any amount, we'll say thanks by sending you the CD with all five parts of my teaching on single parenting. And then those of you joining us monthly, God bless you. You'll receive that teaching plus ongoing teaching every month from me to you to say thank you for your support. So God bless you. You can find out more at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Or call 888-1717. Also remember, the Thrive Conference for Families and Business, October 26th. Information available online. We'll see you next time. We focus on the stressors that you face as a single parent.